Seeing a counselor or getting medical care can be challenging for anyone, and sometimes more so for veterans. We've heard this cruel irony from many vets, as the healthcare system designed to serve them struggles to provide accessible, timely care, especially in rural areas. And women veterans in particular are falling through the cracks. Recognizing its shortcomings in reaching women who've served, the Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs joins us today to talk about efforts to find out why women aren't coming in and how to help them get better care. If you're a woman with prior military experience, we'd love to hear from you during this segment. But first, let's welcome Elizabeth Estabrooks, the Oregon Women Veterans Coordinator for ODVA. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Emily. I'm happy to be here.
So, Elizabeth, of about 28,000 women veterans in Oregon, do you have an idea of how many of them actually use the VA healthcare system?
I don't, and I apologize for that. No, I don't. We know that it's a small number of veterans in general that use the VA system. What we know about women veterans is that they use the VA system at a rate about approximately the same as men. The problem is that, you know, access to that, because the VA is a system designed for men, by men, about men, it's a system that doesn't have the necessary treatment for women and their bodies.
Could you talk more about that? What is a system, you know, designed for, by, and of men, and how could it exclude women who are part of the military service?
Well, services that women require, for instance, regarding their reproductive care, regarding their, you know, their breast care, any of those are not available in most VAs around the nation. So, you know, it's something that has to be outsourced through. Have you heard of it? I don't know if anybody out there has heard of the CHOICE program. It's the VA, when a person cannot receive care within a specified period of time, I believe it's 4 weeks, or if they're further than 40 miles from a VA facility, whether that be a CBOC or a vet center. A CBOC is a community-based outpatient clinic, or a vet center, which is they provide mental health and behavioral health care, or a VA hospital, then they provide them with the option to seek care from a private provider.
Well, and you've gotten to the heart of something here. I mean, to what extent are the services that women veterans in particular need difficult for them to access or unavailable, and to what extent are they not seeking them because of stigma or because they believe they're not there? Do you have a handle on that at all?
Well, women not seeking care because of the... And of course, it's hard to know what we don't know. It's hard to know how many women aren't using the VA because they're not using it, and they don't tell us, I'm not using the VA. I know that I'm doing listening sessions around the state, and in one listening session in particular, there were 11 women at the table, and of those 11 women, three had private care and had chosen not to use the VA. And one was, her private care was she had just found a new job with private insurance, and she was preparing to take her health to a private provider. And for some women, the reason for that is that they're not comfortable going into a VA hospital. For some reason, for some, it's because they don't feel that they can get the care they need. The CHOICE program is problematic because of the way it's designed, and that's not necessarily a fault of the VA or a fault of TRICARE or a fault. It's a good idea, similar to the Oregon Health Plan. It's a good idea that went wrong in its implementation, and they're working on that. And hopefully, with the new design, we think it's going to do a much better job for veterans who are outside that care area or can't get the health care that they need through a VA facility. So for women veterans, going into a VA may be feel unsafe. They may experience sexual harassment. They may not want to see a male provider, but have no choice. And that's one of the designs of the VA hospital is that you don't necessarily get to choose your provider. Now, you might be able to go into the women's health clinic, but that doesn't mean that that it's going to suit your needs, because there's a high turnover in the VA. That's also problematic for many women. They don't want to see a different doctor every time they go in, or a different nurse practitioner. Those that are in areas where they are connected, where there's not a high turnover, they really, for many of them that I've spoken with, like their providers. But then the providers leave, or the providers are so busy. That's another part of it. The providers get so busy that it can take 3 or more weeks to get in to see a doctor, no matter how urgent your need. One of the things I've heard from women is there has to be a system of urgent care, because that's a lacking. That's going into the emergency room and waiting for 8 hours. And that's not just women. That's all veterans.
Everyone.
You know, that's a huge problem. But for women, for instance, some women in Eastern Oregon, they both needed mammograms. Two women, same town, both needed mammograms. Called the Choice Program. One, no problem, here's the person, you know, go to this hospital, get your mammogram, everything will be great. The other woman, she calls the 800 number, they tell her, they give her the name of a place in Florida, because apparently there's a La Grande, Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
They give her a name of a place in Florida, she finally gets that straightened out, then they try to get her to go to Puyallup, Washington, because, you know, they're in Florida, what do they know, or wherever they are. And so she finally gets her mammogram, I think in La Grande, and this was a fall apart in the Choice Program, and she gets her mammogram, and then she gets billed, and then it gets denied. So seeking women's care, women's health specific care, can be a problem because of the fact that you have to use a Choice Program, and then using that voucher system, it expires after a certain period of time. And so then you have to go through it all over again, even if it's something where, okay, I have to go back in 3 months for my follow-up appointment. You have to go through all of it again.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Elizabeth Estabrooks. She is Oregon Women's Veterans Coordinator with ODVA. Here is part of an outreach program. The ODVA is surveying women's veterans. You can find a link to that survey on our website, jeffexchange.org. We have quite a bit more time here with Elizabeth. We'd love to hear from you on these issues. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Elizabeth, in telling the story of the woman who was trying to get a mammogram, a pretty basic piece of preventative care for anybody with breasts, that would be about half the population.
about 51%.
She was given an 800 number. Is there, I came across a recommendation actually from a legislative task force that there needs to be an 800 number specifically for women veterans. And this was about 6 years ago. Is there an 800 number to field people as they try to navigate this very complex and sometimes exclusionary system?
Not to my knowledge. I know that every VA has a woman's program manager. The ones I've met for Oregon are wonderful women. They are attentive. They work really diligently to field questions and deal with problems that are coming up for women veterans. And the problem is that as is human nature, if we've had one or more bad experiences with the system, we tend to just say forget it and not go back. And that does happen. I've talked to some veterans who said, it just became so difficult that I just gave up.
Well, and how many VA facilities are there in Oregon to serve the, many thousands of veterans, 28,000 of which are women?
For hospitals, there's Roseburg and White City, mm-hmm. and there is Portland. Then there's the Vancouver VA, which women in Portland have the option to go across the river to the Vancouver VA. The Walla Walla VA serves women in Eastern Oregon, and as does the Boise VA. So, although those are not Oregon facilities, and we're not bringing that into the fold for the purposes of our survey, because with the survey we're not measuring, is that hospital good or bad? Does it have problems? We're measuring the women's experiences, and so for women in Eastern Oregon, they have a choice of going either to the Boise VA hospital or the Walla Walla VA hospital. There's also a community-based outpatient clinic in LeGrand, but that can be problematic. For instance, if you live in Baker City and you are attached to the Boise VA hospital, it can be problematic getting care from the LeGrand CBOC because that's attached to the Walla Walla VA. So you have these, you have, because of the way the VA is designed, and it's not one seamless system. And so going from one to the other may be problematic. There's also a CBOC in Bend and a vet center in Bend. And the vet centers are just, they're vital in providing mental health care. They're such an important piece, because they are really a cornerstone for mental health treatment in this country for veterans. Every single vet center in this state has really high quality providers. The mental health care that people get is, I can't speak highly enough of the vet centers. We need more of them. For instance, in Eastern Oregon, there's not a vet center. If a veteran in Eastern Oregon wants to go for mental health, they have to drive to Boise, Napa, Caldwell area, or they have to drive to Walla Walla.
Now, you mentioned this choice program for people who live more than 40 miles away from a care provider and CBOC centers. Are the insurance rates, though, are these people actually able to find providers who will take TRICARE or take a choice program? Are the reimbursements, historically, they've been below Medicare rates. Is that still the case, or is that being worked on?
They're at Medicare rates, not below.
They are at.
But people, my understanding is it can be a problem. There are some doctors who would take it and some who will not. There are actually quite a lot of doctors and mental health providers out there that I've spoken with who have been willing to do it. And that's just one of the, you know, what the choice programs, once it goes through, or program, once it goes through its rework, I think once it finds its level, I think it's going to be a good program. Like I said, they're making some changes to it that I think will make it better, because it's going to be less of a throw it at the wall and see what sticks approach, and more of, okay, here are the doctors in this community, here are the providers in this community that are members of the choice program. And I think that'll be better. I spoke to a provider up here in the Portland area who said, basically we've come to the realization that we'll only get paid for about every other veteran.
Wow. Every other veteran.
And so I want to emphasize the mental health piece, because that's women I've spoken with all over Oregon have said, we need more military sexual trauma providers. We need more combat PTSD providers for women that understand the women experiences. You know, women and men veterans do different in their experiences, their experiences as active duty members, in their experiences as veterans. And, you know, one in three women are in the military are at risk of sexual assault. And that includes not just rape, but assault of any kind. And when you factor in harassment, it goes up. And so these are issues that are important, I think, to the VA also. If a woman, and I want to make sure that women hear this, even if you haven't filed a disability claim for military sexual trauma, you can receive treatment from the VA. You can go to a vet center and say, I experienced military sexual assault or harassment and I'd like to see someone, and you get that opportunity. You can go to a VA hospital and you can say, I experienced military sexual assault or harassment, and you can receive treatment.
Elizabeth, do you have to go to a VA military hospital to say that? I mean, that one critique, are victims of military sexual trauma allowed to choose their own counselor or provider of their choice at the VA expense?
At this point, they can if they aren't within a cert. Through the choice program, they can.
Mm-hmm. If they're more than 40 miles away from a
facility. Right, or if it's a longer than a 4-week wait. And with the mental health care, that can be 3 to 4 weeks to get an appointment within that VA system. So. Things that at how much time
you got all the time you need, Elizabeth.
Okay, perfect. So because that's important, and because it's something that I want to emphasize, this is not a fault of the VA. This is a part of this is a funding issue. part of this is the fact that you know, the way the system was designed, the majority of people in this country who join the military live in rural communities. But where are the centers for care, for VA care?
They're in urban areas, correct? You said,
right.
Portland, White City. Where else do we go? Roseburg.
Mm-hmm. And so that's part of that is that design feature. And, you know, we in Oregon, we don't have military bases. We're a National Guard state. Hmm. So that also can be problematic because people who are, for instance, National Guard on active duty, they don't have the option to go to a military base for treatment, or people who are retired. And so we have these people in these rural communities, especially who are in these health and mental health care deserts. And you don't even have to be out removed from the city to be in a mental health desert. I spoke with a woman who lived in Clackamas, and she couldn't get time off. That's another issue for women. A lot of times women work in these low-paying jobs with no benefits. And so taking time off work, this is a huge barrier to service for women. Taking time off work, and oftentimes they're mothers. About 40% of women veterans have a child under the age of 17 living in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're the primary care provider for your child, and you need to take time off to go to work, and you work in a job where you have no benefits, no paid time off, no paid sick leave, nothing, no family leave, you have to first get your boss to give you the time off, which, you know, especially if it's happening more than once, if you or your child, one, have a health problem that requires you to be off work regularly, that can be problematic because it means taking a lot of time off work. So then you have to take time off work. You have to take time off without pay, possibly. You have to, if it's for you, you have to pay for a daycare provider when you have to take yourself to the doctor, or you have to take your child with you. So you see all these barriers to care exist. We call it building barriers to care instead of building system of care.
We're talking with Elizabeth Estabrook. She is Oregon Women's Veterans Coordinator with ODVA. Join this discussion at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I'm Emily Curitan. We've got a couple of minutes left. Now, Elizabeth, it sounds like you are doing this outreach effort, surveying women, doing focus groups to find out what the barriers to care are, but it sounds like you already know about a lot of them. So what do you expect to learn from these surveys that you don't already know?
Well, part of what the survey is doing is it's going to give us a real fine point on it. The work I'm doing is we based the question on the survey on what I knew and what I had learned from women veterans thus far. I started in January. And so when we designed the questions, it was with this in mind. For instance, do you use the VA system? If not, why? And we have about 12 answers on the survey, including I don't like them, because that's a legitimate answer, mm-hmm, for why you're not using a VA system. And we want to learn, are there pockets where things are going bad? Are there pockets? Because we also have, questions like I think it's a great system. I rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. I think it's a 5. So we want to learn, is there something that's going really well in one area that's maybe we can take that to the legislature and say, hey, here's how we can replicate this.
Do you have any indication that something is going well in a particular area?
I wish I could say yes.
Okay. So it sounds
we
like...
Having said that, we do know that in the areas where there's a vet center and in the areas where there's a CBOC, people have better access.
Better access. So that brings, again, this disparity between urban and rural areas. A lot of the vets are in rural areas. Meanwhile, the care is in urban areas. Are you asking people about that on the survey? And, I mean, is there anything they can say that doesn't... that would actually lend itself to a solution? I mean, building more centers, it doesn't seem like the individual has much control over that.
No, because for instance, the building of centers, that's not something the state of Oregon can, it's a federal program. The Department of Veterans Affairs is a federally funded program. But what we can do is, for instance, understand how can we provide, for instance, the rural transportation dollars those provided transportation in rural areas for veterans, so they could, if they, for instance, if they don't have transportation, if they don't have a vehicle that will make it from Bend to Portland. And if, for instance, for women veterans, a woman, if you have to ride a bus to, from, say, Baker City to Boise, Idaho, for the care, that's a two-hour drive. If you are a woman who experienced military sexual assault, you probably are not going to want to spend 2 hours in a van full of men driven by a man, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So the rural transportation grants were provided so that if a veteran needed to go, for instance, from John Day to Portland or John Day to Bend, they could call and they could get a ride to their appointment.
With whom?
Pardon?
With whom?
With the person who received the grant in their area. So like people movers, for instance.
Okay.
That was limited funding. So if we find out that access to care means getting to where they need to go, then how can we, as the state of Oregon, what can we do to support that? If we find out that the issue is that women need better and more mental health providers that are specific to, for instance, military sexual assault, what can we do to develop partnerships in communities where women live so that they don't have to drive somewhere else, so they don't have to wait 4 weeks so they can get into their care right now? If the issue is substance abuse treatment, how do we get them the substance abuse treatment they need so that they have that where they live, so they don't have to worry about losing their children or finding a home for their children while they're in treatment or losing their job or whatever the case
may be. So the Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs wants to hear from you. That survey is up. You can find it via jeffexchange.org or also on the ODVA website. Elizabeth Estabrooks has been our guest. She's Oregon Women's Veterans Coordinator. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining the Exchange today.
Thank you, Emily. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.